Catholic Order of Foresters, dedicated to bringing Catholic values to life since 1883. Catholic Order of Foresters is looking to hire relevant radio listeners as new agents in each of our markets. For more information, call Mark at 855-696-2085.
The following is a relevant radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at relevantradio.com.
Hello, it is 5 minutes after the hour, and we welcome you to On Call. On this program, each and every single solitary day, Catholic clinical psychologists and physicians and authors and experts and spiritual directors join us to help us face life and life's many, many, many challenges with mature wisdom and confidence, and above all, with our beautiful Catholic faith. I'm your host, Wendy Weiss, and I'll introduce our special guest, a regular contributor, in just a moment for a topic I think you will all enjoy. But let's ask for the guidance of the Holy Spirit over this hour. Will you pray with me, please? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit instructed the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. 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 In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And before one more little bit of business, before I introduce our special guest, I would like to wish a very, very happy and thank God for the gift of our coworker, Tim Mersch. He is the young man who takes all of your calls throughout the midday. He is the chief cook and bottle washer behind the scenes. And I don't know what we would do without him around here. He is exuberant and passionate when it comes to the faith, and he has a work ethic like no other. He adds a great deal to our Relevant Radio family, and we're so happy that you're here, Tim. So happy anniversary, his first anniversary. So wish him an anniversary, anniversary greeting when you call in today. So thank you, Tim. And it is a pleasure to welcome back to the program Catholic therapist. He's got to have an anniversary coming up on this program too fairly soon. Catholic therapist Joseph Coyle. He is in private practice in Waltham and Norwell, Massachusetts, in the Boston area. He is a licensed psychologist who offers psychotherapy in person and by phone. He is a board-certified professional Christian counselor. He offers his clients the opportunity to integrate religious and spiritual aspects into the work as appropriate. And he joins us regularly, and today we just have to talk about all of the anger and anxiety out there. You don't have to look very far today, do you, Dr. Coyle? Welcome back. How are you?
Good. Very good, Wendy. How are you doing?
Doing fine. I was afraid maybe when I said, how are you, you'd say anger. I'm angry. I'm angry and I'm anxious. Is it going to get worse the closer we get to November, or is it going to alleviate a little bit? What in the world is going on in your estimation?
I don't know. I sure hope it gets better. This is like nothing I've ever seen for sure. So I'm hoping things settle down a little bit. People are really riled up here.
They are in Massachusetts as well. I guess it's just, I think it's coast to coast, north, south, east, west. And yet, as Catholics, obviously, we have the tools to counter that. And it is, it's pretty ironic. And there's some divine providence here when you think of the Jubilee Year of Mercy, Mercy, Mercy. So how do we use that mercy? How do we connect with God's mercy, the mercy that we are constantly, by the way, asking God to show to us. You know, we have to remember to show it in traffic to the person who maybe cuts us off, or the person on social media who doesn't have the same political opinions. What do we do to center ourselves? Obviously, prayer would be a terrific place to start.
Sure, and driving in the Boston area, I have many, many opportunities to practice that virtue daily.
I bet.
You know, I think the challenge, the way I think of it, certainly for myself, is to keep the religious aspect, you know, global and not compartmentalized. Not that here's this thing that I have on the side, and then there's politics, and then there's dealing with the family, and then there's psychology. You know, I think people fall into that trap a lot of not applying what they already have in these day-to-day situations. And I think a lot of what I run into, or what I try to encourage people to do, is to really draw on their belief system and really apply it across the board in these moments. And that's certainly a way to counteract anxiety, but also as far as your, you know, this gut reaction or knee-jerk reaction, a lot of times it's so human and so normal for us to just feel like we want to lash out or defend our position or, you know, take offense at certain things. And it's really hard to put yourself in the perspective of the other person. I've lately been saying, you know, we can watch a 90-minute movie about a made-up character and empathize so greatly and be crying at the end, but we don't take time to do that in our own lives with the actual real people that we're coming into contact with. So I think that's, you know, what the faith definitely encourages us to do.
The culture, is as much as we, you know, obviously try to separate ourselves from so many of the negative aspects. And when I say separate ourselves, I mean, you know, protect ourselves, arm ourselves with our faith. When we're, you know, within the culture, it's hard not to be affected. And it seems to me that culturally there is a push where once upon a time you were expected to have a filter. And today, you know, from the candidates for the White House to, you know, the person in traffic next to you, or the person in the cubicle next to you, or in the carpool line, or wherever, you know, people don't have filters, and we are, as I said, we're encouraged not to have filters. What's happened there? When was bad behavior? When did bad behavior become fashionable?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I think about it sometimes in terms of personality types. I definitely see people being free with their ideas these days, but, you know, I think you also have people that are, you know, more hesitant to do that, or kind of more sensitive, or maybe more easily injured by that, and trying to figure out how to deal with folks like that when they're speaking so freely, or when they're not really thinking before they talk. So, you know, I'm not sure that I'm seeing that so globally here. I just think people are kind of charged up, you know, in general with. I mean, I think what we have to do is remember that what we're doing is countercultural, and, you know, Catholic ideas are more and more coming under attack and more seen as not the norm, or seen as something that we have to, you know, get with the program. And, you know, I think part of our strength needs to come from the fact that we stand our ground, and what we're living by is not necessarily mainstream.
And that's why, you know, obviously you're listening to Relevant Radio right now. And that's a great way to protect yourself. And in social media, do you ever give your clients advice when it comes to managing social media? Because I love the term off the grid, but we can't all operate there. You know, there are some of our businesses, are required to, you know, you're required to engage in social media. So how do we navigate that?
Well, you know, I think one of the things that I try to encourage people to keep in mind when they bring it up is that technology generally causes people to be less inhibited than they would be in personal contact. So I think you have to both take with a grain of salt things that you see there or positions or perspectives. I think you also have to be careful yourself not to, again, have a knee-jerk reaction and be so triggered and so forth. I guess I try to help people minimize chaos in their lives. I say to people, let me help you have a boring life, and then you can, you know, we can strip out all the things that are sapping your energy, and then you have the energy to put in and build back in things that are life-giving. So certainly, you know, if they're, the feeling is that you're being sapped of your energy through these outlets and through online things, then definitely take a break. If it's something that's coming down as a requirement, then, again, I think there's still a way to be compassionate and to see, you know, people operate a lot of times out of hurt, and we try to connect with that as opposed to distance ourselves from that and say, oh, I have nothing in common with this person. I'm not like them. I think our challenge is to try to, you know, connect as much as possible, even when it's tough to do that.
Dr. Joseph Coyle is our special guest today. We're talking about anger and anxiety and countering that with mercy. If you have someone in your life, or if what we were saying about social media or the workplace or the, you know, in your social sphere, do you feel as if you are being put on the spot because of your faith or Catholic, you know, your Catholic belief or your politics? Or is there somebody who regularly tries to engage, you know, with you and start an argument? Dr. Coyle is here to help you diffuse those situations and, as he said, lead a less chaotic life. And that would be lovely. You should go to Washington, Dr. Coyle. It is 16 minutes after the hour. The number in the studio, if you have a question or a comment, 877-766-3777. That's 877-766-3777. I just saw something the other day on social media from a friend, you know, a Facebook friend who was basically signing off. You know, he said, I'm tired of being attacked. I'm going away. I'm going fishing. He put like a gone fishing sign up on his Facebook page. So there is a great deal of anxiety out there. Lead a less chaotic and more faith-filled, joyful life. Call in today, 877-766-3777. This is Talk Radio for Catholic Life. This is Relevant Radio. We'll be right back.
When a major disaster like the Egypt air crash happens, people wonder aloud if it may be connected to terrorists. In too many cases, it has been. I'm Sheila Logminas. Dr. Sebastian Gorka, one of the world's leading counterterrorist experts, knows patterns and threat assessments well, and he's my guest on Defeating Jihad. Then Jeff Gardner of Picture Christians takes a closer look at those in harm's way. 6 Eastern, 5 Central, here on Relevant Radio.
Un jubileo de la misericordia.
This is the Jubilee Year of Mercy.
Father Steve Gruno.
The sacrament of penance is not an extraordinary expectation for the Christian. It's an ordinary expectation. It's not just something that we do occasionally, but we integrate it as a regular practice of the Christian life. And the reason we do that is because we're unburdened in that sacrament from our own self-preoccupation and egoism. What caught up in your sin is, you're caught up in yourself. Once you're freed from that, you're freed from mission. Mercy is an actual work that you do. You act as an agent that brings God's response of healing compassion to the sinner. That's what's meant to happen.
Learn more about the Jubilee Year of Mercy at relevantradio.com, keyword Jubilee.
You know, how many times have you heard someone say, oh, I'm no Mother Teresa? She would say, that's right, but that doesn't mean you're not supposed to be a saint, so get with the program. When people would say, you know, oh, you know, I can't do this, she would look at them and she'd say, holiness is not the luxury of the few, but the simple duty of you and me. Very clear. We're all called to be saints.
This is Talk Radio for Catholic Life. This is Relevant Radio.
Has anyone ever made fun of your name? Hello, I'm Father James Kubicki, And while my Polish name is actually fairly simple, people still have trouble with it and sometimes mispronounce it. That's no big deal for me, but what if someone used your name as a curse or as a sign of surprise or disgust? Wouldn't you feel bad or maybe even get mad? I ask this because I often hear the name of God and the name of Jesus used, not with honor and reverence, but thoughtlessly. This isn't a new problem. A group called the Holy Name Society was started in the 13th century to discourage profaning God's name and to show it reverence. And today's saint, Bernardine of Siena, a popular Franciscan preacher in the 15th century, worked hard to spread devotion to the name of Jesus. The second of the Ten Commandments clearly states, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Let's commit ourselves today to following this commandment and showing the name of Jesus the reverence it deserves. After all, St. Paul told the Philippians that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend. And let's close with a prayer of St. Bernardine's. Jesus, name full of glory, grace, love, and strength, you are the refuge of those who repent, our banner of warfare in this life, the medicine of souls, the comfort of those who mourn, the delight of those who believe, the light of those who preach the true faith, the wages of those who toil, the healing of the sick. To you our devotion aspires, by you our prayers are received. We delight in contemplating you. O name of Jesus, you are the glory of all the saints for eternity. Amen.
For more prayer resources, go to relevantradio.com. Keyword, pray.
We want to pray with you and for you. You can share your prayer request with us at relevantradio.com. Simply click on the prayer request button or call 888-577-5443. All of your prayer requests are kept anonymous and are prayed for individually before the Blessed Sacrament.
Anger, he smiles, tavern in, shining metallic purple armor. Queen jealousy,
anger, 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 and anxiety, anxiety, anxiety. And it's not even, I mean, June's not even here. We're in the high political season, and many relationships are foundering because of some of these issues when it comes to politics and just in general, the fact that people aren't as filtered as they used to be. And how do we counter all of that in our life with mercy? Because this is the Jubilee Year of Mercy, and we have to be merciful, even when we are not exactly being treated mercifully. So the number in the studio, if you have a question or a comment, or if you find yourself dealing with excessive anger, for Joseph Coyle, our Catholic therapist today, 877-766-3777. He is in private practice in the Boston area in Waltham and Norwell, Massachusetts. His website, easy enough to remember, Joseph Coyle, COYLE.com, josephcoyle.com. Let's go to an anonymous call on line 5. Hi, Anonymous. Welcome to Relevant Radio. You're on the air with Dr. Coyle.
Hi, Dr. Coyle. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having me. I am calling because a lot has happened in the past 7 months in my husband and I's lives. And I went from being a career woman, ambitious, driven woman, and a high achiever to being a stay-at-home mom of three beautiful kids. And there's been a lot of resentment and anger and hatred towards my husband. I don't display it through words or actions. I just internalize it. And a month ago, we just found out I have secondary infertility, and we want to grow our family. And this has added more tension, more friction in our marriage. And my husband leaves on Monday for 3 months. We're a military family, and that's going to put our lives on hold until we can go see our NAPRO doctor. But the anger on my end is just building and building. And one second I'm okay, the next second I'm angry, depressed, sad. One second it's like it just goes back and forth. And this is, these are all new to me, these emotions, these feelings, these moods. It's very new to me, and I don't know how to cope. I don't know how to deal. And my husband told me yesterday that this is not the woman he married, and he's absolutely right. But I was not expecting all these curveballs thrown at me.
Sure. I'm really sorry to hear about that. You know, as far as the anger that you have and feeling like you're keeping that in, I mean, if there's anything of this that you can discuss, you know, maybe some of the feelings are particularly tough and you don't want to hurt him, but as far as your frustrations in general, I think part of marriage is letting each other know what things are pushing buttons and what things are frustrating. So, you know, you don't want to internalize that. You want to have some expression for that, and you want to have some outlets for that. I would encourage you to think of what things you could directly speak with him about. If there's some kind of filtering or teasing things out that you feel you need to do by yourself, then I would say, who do you have that you could go to, you know, that would be a confidant? Doesn't have to be a professional, but could be. Could be other family members, could be other friends, people in religious circles. But just so you're not feeling like an island here, or you're feeling like, you know, you're bearing these burdens all by yourself. These are some tough burdens that you have. Any one of those things that you just mentioned, I think you mentioned about three or four things that are big life changes in a short amount of time and very difficult issues that aren't easily solved. You know, you want to feel like you have some support system there and you're not just taking that on yourself, but certainly within your marriage that the two of you are carrying each other and you're asking for help and you're, you know, trying to solve some problems there. Men a lot of times have trouble just sitting on their hands and listening, and maybe that's kind of what you need. If you can just say, look, I just need to get some things off my chest, I just need to vent, I don't want you to fix it for me, I just want to talk about this. Men a lot of times are looking to solve the problem or not sure what the woman is wanting, and then we go into our own theories for that, and it's a lot of times wrong. So I would be a proponent of open communication with him, you know, and certainly some kind of support system that you can get.
Right, and we have a great marriage. We communicate very well. It's just the emotions are all over the map for me, and I kind of don't want to talk to anybody about this.
Talk to Jesus. Talk to Jesus, Anonymous. I mean, you know, go to Eucharistic Adoration. If you, I know with three little kids, that's probably not easy, but right, Dr.
No,
Coyle?
I do. Yeah. I do. And I cry and I'm okay. And then the moment I leave, 10 minutes later, I'm back to square one again. And this is just, I'm not, the fact that I can't control this is, it's becoming unbearable. And I went to go talk to our priest, and I told him, I just can't stand myself. It's unbearable. And I have to live in this body knowing that mm-hmm. I can't conceive right now. And I see three life children, and it's, I just can't wrap my head around it. And it's,
yeah. You can also be in the middle of a grief process too.
Exactly. Yes, I am grief. Yes. I am, and every day I grieve, and I'm not a person who has a history of depression, but when you have all these things taken away from you, and you have nothing else, I do live for my children, yes, I do stuff, you know, I go about my days as a mom, but what about me? What about what I desire, what I want, what something to hold on, something. My husband has everything while I have nothing to fall back on.
So a grieving process is not something that you want to be doing by yourself, certainly in a situation like this. The fact that you're calling in today shows that you have this need to reach out, and so I would want to try to help you get some support and carve out time, however difficult, for you to plug into some support so you can be getting some help there.
And Dr. Coyle, I'm not sure if you can hear the music. Anonymous, I would love for you to hang on because I don't want to hang up before or just because we're going to a hard break. I think there's still some more that Dr. Coyle probably needs to cover with you. So hang tight. We'll be back.
I just took Balance of Nature for the first time. You guys are awesome. God bless you.
I have CIDP. It's helped me with my balance. It's helped clear up my skin condition.
I honestly did notice a difference. That's why I reordered it.
I feel good. I really just feel good. Everything has changed. I just feel so much better.
There is absolutely no doubt in my mind that this product works. It's helped me as far as my overall health. I even recommended it to my mother, and she's been taking it, and she's 89 years old.
Call now to find out how you can get your free set of fruits and veggies. When you can give your body a full variety of 31 different fruits and vegetables, you receive the unmatched balance of nutrition. Call toll-free 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com and be sure to enter promo code RELEVANT.
Father Robert Spitzer, philosopher, educator, founder, and president of the Majus Institute. So many people talking about their grown children who they raised in the faith, went off to college, and now reject anything they say about religion. That's such a rampant problem.
The reason I started the Majus Institute was because I saw a lot of people out there just like me. You get to college and you just get killed. There's so much evidence for God. So much evidence for the reality of Jesus, so much evidence for the reality of the soul, so much evidence that the human spirit is so utterly subtle and sophisticated and transcendent and truly the image of God. And so I just said, I got to put this out there on the internet. I got to put this out there in books. People can't be snowed anymore by the secular society.
Reaching beyond the headlines to give you the real story. A Closer Look with Sheila Lokminas. Weekday evenings at 6 Eastern, 5 Central on Relevant Radio. Giving voice to our shepherds. Relevant Radio. Archbishop of Chicago, Blaise Cupich.
Jesus tells all of us today to go back to where our journey of faith began. To be in touch with the joyful experience of being transformed by the intimacy God offers us, to be willing to share it with the next generation. Young people have always been attracted to authenticity of life, where words match deeds. Let's not be afraid to let our young people know about our life with God and how it began. Let's stay close to them. So close that we can hold them by the back of the neck and tell them what it means for us to believe and share with them how the gospel has brought joy and meaning to us and has transformed our lives.
Giving voice to our shepherds. Talk radio for Catholic life. Relevant Radio.
Monsignor Daniel Muckenberg is the pastor of Christ the King Parish in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
For a long time in our lives, when something unpleasant happens, we can become frustrated and we can say to God in our prayer, why me? Why did you do this to me? Why did you allow this to happen in my life? And when we do that, we're praying out of an attitude of self-pity. Right? But there's also a way in which a mature disciple can go to prayer and ask that same question. Lord, help me understand why you have let this happen in my life, because I firmly believe you love me and that you desire my spiritual growth, you desire my conversion, and you desire my repentance. So the best thing that I can do, God, is cooperate with your grace that has allowed an event to happen in my life so that I can become a better disciple. I can grow in deeper relationship with you through this experience.
Clear Catholic teaching.
Talk radio for Catholic life. Relevant Radio.
Those 877-766-3777. That's the number for Dr. Joseph Coyle. If you have a question, if you have a situation in your life where you feel like you're angry or resentful, or if there's some anxiety because of the very angry times that we seem to be living in, we're talking about how to How to Live Life Mercifully with Dr. Joseph Coyle. JosephCoyle.com, that's his website. He is in private practice in the Boston area in Waltham and Norwell. He has offices there, and we want to get back to Anonymous on Line 5. Dr. Coyle, I didn't want to let her go in that moment because it seemed that there was more to be said.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I'm just looking, too, as far as resources for you. I really feel like not keeping that bottled in and really connecting with others, a lot of times pushing things down makes them worse. And certainly within a marriage, within a relationship, that's the case. So I would want you to be, you know, getting things out. On the religious side, you know, prayer-wise, you get the St. Gerard prayer. There's Saints Andrew, Anne, and Anthony of Padua to be, you know, pulling in here. You know, who can you be meeting with as far as discernment and, you know, what's God doing here, what's God asking you for, but that you're not grieving in isolation here, I think, is a real important thing.
Right. It's just a lot to take in all at once, and I've isolated myself from people, and that's by choice because I guess that's my way of coping with things and grieving on my own. And I told my husband, you know, I'm afraid I'm going to have more resentment towards you and more hatred towards you when you come back from this school. It's a military training. It's a prestigious school for his job. And that's going to be an accomplishment for him. And here I was a year out of finishing my second master's and on my way to apply to my PhD program, and there's nothing there for me now.
So again, even, you know, grief as far as those things there, or those, you know, possibilities that you had there that you're now being asked to let go of, or, you know, with the course of your marriage or the course of your life, I think it's good that you express that to him, even though it's hard for him to hear possibly, but I wouldn't want you carrying that by yourself. You don't want to be pushing that down and creating a wall between the two of you. So I think it's
right. And I'm afraid this is, I don't want him to think I'm a cold or ugly person, but a part of me was just taken away. And then another part of me has been temporarily taken away. And it's, how do you cope? How do you deal? How do you go about your days? How? And I want to be the woman he married 15 years ago. I do. I really do. But this is not something I can get over overnight. His way of dealing with things is he's very positive, optimistic, and he likes to joke around and laugh. And when he does, I tell him, this is serious stuff. This is delicate. And he's not attacking the situation, but that's his coping mechanism. And my coping mechanism is just being down and depressed and sad and all these what ifs. And
sure. And I think you should be very blunt and telling people what you need. I would be very concrete with you as far as even with his impending trip here, what are your weeks going to look like? What are you doing with yourself? You can't be by yourself the whole time. You have to get some things concretely on your calendar as far as life-giving people and life-giving things that you can be doing. I know it's going to be very difficult to carve that out with your children, but that it's vital. It's not like it would be nice if you do that. I would say it's critical that you do that so that things don't continue to amplify internally for you, and that you feel like, you know, you're kind of sliding down into a hole there. You need to be pulled out. You need to be among people, you know, at this point, for some part of your week.
Would she benefit? I know what state she's in, and or at least I know where her cell phone is located. And I don't see any Catholic therapist. It's a shame that that there, you know, there couldn't be some kind of a Catholic discussion group for young moms, or maybe at the parish level maybe she could actually maybe get something started, you know, or if find out if there's a Bible study, if there's a group of young moms who need to just sort of be there for one another to share these types of concerns. Would that help her, Dr. Coyle? Because she, you know, she, as she said, she's isolated. And that's tough when you have three kids.
I mean, she might find that she experiences a real inertia to getting something going like that, though. That's it's a good idea, and it looks good on paper, but actually having the momentum to do that is going to be tough for her. So I would recruit some people, some friends that she can be, you know, asking to do that kind of groundwork for her. I did just, you know, look, and there's a number of online forums that could be possible, but even as far as support groups in the area, you know, I'm sure there can be some Christian groups in the area, you know, that she could plug into, prayer groups, you know, even if there were one or two people in the family or her friends network that can get some resources for her so that she doesn't have to do that kind of legwork. I think that's what I would recommend.
But it's important for her to know that she is not alone. That she's not alone. So please, if everyone listening would pray for our anonymous caller on line five. This is a young mom who's dealing with a lot of different difficulties in her life right now, and I know that that she will feel your prayers. So God bless you, Anonymous. We're going to take a break a little bit early. Dr. Joseph Coyle is our guest, and you'll find him and other therapists on CatholicTherapist.com. He's in private practice in the Boston area in Norwell and Waltham. JosephCoyle.com. The number in the studio, if you are having any trouble with anxiety or anger, resentment, 877-766-3777. Is there somebody in your life or maybe even on social media who is trying to push every single button that you have and you're trying not to let them? The number is 877-766-3777. This is Talk Radio for Catholic Life. This is Relevant Radio. Join us.
Backed by your prayers and your generosity, this is listener-supported Relevant Radio.
When you think about the amazing work that Relevant Radio does, to me, that's an organization that you really, really should seriously think about supporting.
Relevant Radio contributor, Professor Harry Kramer, Kellogg School of Management, Northwestern University.
It's one thing to say, hey, I'm in my car, and, you know, hey, I think I'm going to listen to Relevant Radio, but I don't think people stop and think, well, what are the costs of being able to do that? And if we're going to spread the word and we want to end up increasing the amount of listeners and you want to buy more radio stations, where does all this come from? How do we spread the word of Christ? Those of us that are blessed, that have some excess, and not people that are necessarily wealthy, can make a difference.
Our need is ongoing. Please call now with your tax-deductible donation. 1-877-291-0123 or donate online at relevantradio.com.
This week on Christopher Close-Up, I'll be talking saints and sinners with singer-songwriter Matt Maher. Specifically, we'll be talking about the holy people that inspired his latest album titled Saints and Sinners, along with the challenges we all face in our journey to grow closer to God. After that, we'll feature a reflection from Father Jonathan Morris about the decision to live your life for God. Join me, Tony Rossi, this Sunday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 3:30 p.m. Central for Christopher Close-Up right here on Relevant Radio.
Father Joseph Johnson talking about mercy today.
People say to me, Father, do I have to give money to every beggar that asks? I say, no. In fact, the Missionaries of Charity told me, Father, you don't have to do that. But the important thing is treat the person as a human being. Treat the person as an equal. If it's just about money, you're still superior and they're an inferior. But if it's about love, this person is an equal.
Talk Radio for Catholic Life. Relevant Radio.
The Relevant Radio toll-free studio line is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters, dedicated to bringing Catholic values to life since 1883. For more information, go to CatholicForester.org or RelevantRadio.com, keyword COF.
It ain't just me. Anger. Anger can make you old. Anger.
Countering all of the anger that we encounter with God's mercy. This is a Jubilee Year of Mercy, and I think that we have all been more mindful of everything that the Holy Father has had to say when it comes to being merciful, because we ask for, we plead for God's mercy, so we need to be merciful to those around us who need it. Dr. Joseph Coyle, one of our favorites, is here today. He is a Catholic therapist in private practice in Boston. He's a Red Sox fan, I'm presuming. Yes, of course you are. I mean, I know that's required when you're in Boston, required by law. So his website, Joseph, if you can get around that, if you're from elsewhere in the country, josephcoyle.com is the website. And the number in the studio is 877-766-3777, talking about there's a lot of anger out there, a lot of anxiety that is connected to that anger. Let's go to Debbie. She is listening in Austin, Texas to 970 AM KIXL. Welcome, Debbie. You're on Relevant Radio with Dr. Coyle.
Hi, Dr. Coyle, and thank you, Sheila. I'm so glad that you took my call. I just wanted to respond to the previous caller, and when I was 40 years old, I was in a similar situation, and for me, it was a chemical imbalance, and so I would just ask that she not rule out seeing a medical doctor, because that kind of rage and that kind of anxiety and that kind of nondescript anger sometimes is nothing more than a chemical imbalance. And I was in a similar situation when I was 40 years old and hospitalized for clinical depression. And I know that anxiety and depression are opposite ends of the same spectrum, and they're treated with the same kinds of medication. Within 2 weeks, all of that began to dissipate, and I tried everything. So I did the support groups. I did the therapist. I did the prayer. I prayed like nobody's business, but nothing helped until I got on some medication that helped bring me out of it, that then allowed me to cope better with it. So that's just, I would ask that not be overlooked.
Great. Yep, absolutely. Great suggestion, and thank you so much for sharing that. That's absolutely true. It can be, you know, hormonal contributions and other
exactly.
kinds of chemical contributions, so absolutely. Also depending on the ages of the children, too, and how soon postpartum we're talking, mm-hmm. absolutely. So mm-hmm. thank you, Debbie.
Yes, I did suffer from postpartum depression, and this was, you know, when my daughter was 9 years old. So it lasted for a long time. It festered for a long time, and, you know, it resulted in me being in a very, very, very bad place. So I'd hate for that to continue if it could be something controlled, you know, or helped by medication. So thanks for taking my call, and God bless you.
Thank you for making the call, Debbie. That's absolutely true. Just to get a good physical, you know, it's so easy to think about, you know, only the emotional and the spiritual needs, but she probably just would benefit from a good, solid physical examination. So I hope and pray that that she is still listening. Barbara is calling from Massachusetts. Hi, Barbara. Thank you for holding. You are on the air with Dr. Joseph Coyle.
Thank you, Wendy. Hi, Dr. Coyle.
Hi,
the reason why I'm calling is my mom is going to be 95 in August, and she lives about 45 minutes away from us in Worcester. We're in Bellingham. My brother's in West Boylston, and she lives by herself. She has some dementia, but she's really experiencing some medical concerns. It has my brother, my sister-in-law, my husband, and I really worried. And, you know, we provide meals for her. I call her every day. And often now she's been complaining that she's sick, that her stomach hurts. And my brother went up the other night, and he made sure she had her supper and fell asleep while she was eating. And we really want to get her to a doctor, but she continually refuses to do so. And she doesn't have, you know, severe enough dementia that we could, you know, say, oh, Mom, we're going for a ride, and then just bring her to the doctors and say, oh, what, by the way, while we're here. Can't do that because Mom, you know, isn't at that stage, you know, of dementia. But, like, you know, it's really, really getting to the point that we really don't know what to do. Our daughter is getting married in 2 weeks. And we want Mom to be seen in case she needs medicine, and, you know, we don't know what to do.
sorry to hear about this. The things that come to mind are, you know, home health care and your local elder services organization within your community might have some concrete resources and ideas. This is a very tricky scenario that it's not a question of competency, and so the family can't really step in across the board in an absolute way. But you're in this kind of gray area where there are areas where she needs to be monitored. I mean, have you looked into that or bring somebody in or having a nurse come in every so often and to provide that kind of support or guidance?
We're just starting at that point. I was talking to my sister-in-law, and I said maybe that's what Mom needs is right now is, you know, to get her some help during the day. She does have, it has nothing to do with that, but I have the Eucharistic minister go to her house once a week, but I think she needs somebody, like you said, to come in and monitor her meals and, you know, see how she's doing. And maybe she would accept that person saying, gee, you know, I think you should be seen by a doctor or something. Maybe she'll take it from an outsider rather than us. I think that's a very, very good point. And, yes, there are plenty of services in that area. So I think we should probably really now to do that. That really, you know, because that's what I thought about all along, and now I think it's really time. So
good.
I want to thank you for reinforcing that.
And also that you're, you know, plugging into her primary care doctor and, you know, as you can, try to get her to sign the releases so that you can speak freely. But remember that under HIPAA, the doctors can listen to anything you have to say. They may not be able to divulge information, but, you know, you can certainly talk to them or leave messages or contact their nursing staff as far as what's going on, and they can still be helpful, and it gives them the heads up, and they can provide you with resources. And again, the elder services in the community may have specific people that are particularly good, or they may have kind of game plans for you for cases like this, so you're not having to come up with this on your own in these difficult situations.
Yeah, that sounds good. So maybe we'll start with her primary care doctor, because my sister-in-law and brother and my brother go there to him anyway, and he knows our family very well.
Good.
So maybe that's a good way to start, is to call the office and tell them what's going on. I want to thank you very much, and I think we're going to do that right away.
Great. My pleasure.
God
thank
bless you,
Dr. Coyle. God bless.
God
bye-bye
bless.
Now.
Thanks, Barbara. Let's go to Anonymous on line 8 for Dr. Joseph Coyle, Catholic therapist in private practice in the Boston area. His website, josephcoyle.com. He has offices in Waltham and Norwell. Hi, Anonymous. Welcome. You are in Relevant Radio with Dr. Coyle.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I would like to know how to get past the resentment when someone says something that is hurtful to you and is not true. And especially when that person that said it is your stepson and your husband did not defend you.
Tricky. You know, you're wanting to look at your boundaries as far as what do you do going forward. There certainly is forgiveness, but it's hard to really forgive something that is continuing to go on. So I guess I try to tell people, if there's something that you need to do or a situation that you need to remove yourself from, you know, not necessarily cutting people out of your life, but as far as, you know, making your hurt known and trying to understand, you know, what's going to be different. You don't want to be continuing to go back to a situation where you feel you're banging your head against the wall. So I think you want to take inventory on your side, even as part of a forgiveness process, as far as what if anything more needs to be expressed, so that you have it off your chest, you have it out there, it's not in there festering. And you do that in a spirit of following your conscience. Here's what I need to say so that I can sleep at night knowing that I put this out there. You can't really tailor it to the person's reaction. Their reaction to that may be positive, it may not be positive. But I think the inventory that I would help somebody take is what do I need to express so that I can feel like I was honest, I was true, I made my feelings known. You have two issues there as far as two separate relationships that you're talking about. So I think there would be, you know, two separate tracks as far as the hurt you might be experiencing here and what you need to articulate. So I think I would go through a mode of inventory on that and figuring out what, you know, what you want to say and what you want to bring to these folks, if anything, if you haven't done that. And then, you know, moving forward, what's the plan going to be so that we don't run into this again? I would really want to, you know, understand some kind of plan that we're not going to keep, you know, having this happen. You're not going to expose yourself to that, you know, and you want things to work out differently. The forgiveness side of things, as far as the work that is yours, remember, with unforgiveness and resentment, like you're talking about, it's the poison that I drink hoping that the other person gets hurt. You know, so you want yourself unburdened with that, and you want to be able to be free. So you're not holding yourself in bondage and, again, waiting for some response from somebody before you can, you know, let something go. A lot of times you have to forgive debts even though they're owed to you, and you have to forgive debts sometimes that can't be repaid. That's what's in your control here. So I would be looking for that, you know, as far as the spiritual side of things. Some people say forgive quickly, you know. So I think that's a good motto to have, and you want to be throwing all the spiritual resources at that. And on the practical side and psychological side, what boundaries do I set up for myself so I'm not exposing to myself to this in the future and it's not happening ongoing?
I have forgiven him, and I have never brought it up to him. But I have my husband, and my husband said the reason he didn't say anything is that he was in shock that he was even saying those things.
Yep.
And so I never wanted to bring up anything because I didn't want to cause you know, a separation in the family or any I don't know how to explain it, but where they wouldn't want to be around us. And so it hasn't happened again, and it just kind of went off like it was forgotten. But it, okay, it's something that I've forgiven, but it's still in me. You know, I can't, because they were unjust things.
Does it, yeah, bubble? Does it bubble back up in other situations? Maybe with your husband when things get, you know, once we sort of push something to the side, Dr. Coyle, and we think it's off the table, very often it reappears, doesn't it?
Sure. You know, I mean, it's what you said is great, and I think that it's good that you've forgiven. A lot of times the resentment speaks to an emotional component, and emotions don't really snap into line the way we'd like them to. So I can forgive logically, or I can forgive with my will, but emotionally it's kind of like dragging an anchor behind you to get them to snap into line. I mean, I think the goal that we look for as Christians is that I can think about this thing that happened and I can have peace, and there's nothing owed to me. And so if you think about it and there's still this resentment, it says there might be more inventory on something more to do. And I certainly appreciate saying I don't really want to bring this into the relationships. It can cause more damage to do that. But then there's another level of letting go for you. And I would again look to, do you have a confidence that you're not going to run into this problem again? Because a lot of times the resentment can be actually a worry that, you know, you're going to run into this again, and even though it's not talked about or it's not causing problems now, it may down the road. So that's another kind of tricky problem for you to think about, but that you're letting go of as much as you can. You're not, you know, all the passages that talk about freedom and not falling into strongholds and so forth, you want to throw all that at this so that your emotions are lined up with your will here.
And in the meantime, you can count on the prayers of everybody listening, Anonymous. We're so happy that you called, and we are so thankful to you, Dr. Coyle, for being so very generous with your time and with your talents with our Relevant Radio family, and we always look forward to our next visit. Please pray for Dr. Coyle and his family there in the Boston area. Stay tuned, because Drew has another action-packed program. He'll bring you up to date on the very latest in the tragic crash of the Egypt Air jet. Bearing False Witness, Debunking Centuries of Anti-Catholic History, The Age of Mary, The Economy, and Drug-Resistant Bugs. You don't want to miss that. Don't miss a minute of it. Then Sheila takes a closer look at 6 Eastern. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this hour of On Call on listener-supported Relevant Radio. For information on guests and topics, go to relevantradio.com and enter keyword Wendy. That's relevantradio.com, keyword Wendy.